And now we're going to study a summer series in the book of Psalms. We're picking up really where we left off last year. Last year, you might remember, we covered 14 Psalms in 14 weeks. And if you might remember, it was tough to get through 14 Psalms in 14 weeks. Well, this year, we've got 14 Psalms to get through in 13 weeks. And we've got one book, or one of the Psalms, is over 70 verses. It's going to take 2 weeks for that one for us to get through. So what we're trying to do is put this class together so we can cover all of the Psalms for this summer. We also learned last year, if you might remember, some of those Psalms that overlap. So some of the applications or the takeaways, the messages, the teachings were the same. So we're trying to group those. So that's why I'd refer you to the document that you're getting, the worksheet that you've got. It's very simple. It is a list of the scriptures we're going to be studying by week. So if you're studying ahead, you can take a look at those, study them ahead of time. And you'll also note that they're not in numerical order. And that's really why we're handing this out. So those who study ahead, keep that document. Take a picture of it. Keep it on your phone. But you're also going to see the teaching that's going to go with each one of those studies. And you'll see who's teaching. This summer, Jim Hobbs and I are going to be co-teaching. And we got Mike Smith volunteered for a couple weeks where there's some scheduling conflicts. And that's what that lays out. So hopefully that keeps you at least aware and ready for each class as we go through this study. If you remember last year, I think every psalm that we studied last year was written by David. So you could see a similar writing style from week to week. It was the same author. You could see David, whenever he was facing his enemies, he was asking God to spare him multiple times. We also looked back in Scripture and studied the account that was to give us an idea of what David may be going through when he wrote each one of the Psalms. It was kind of a helpful precursor into our study. This year, it's going to be different. David did write some of these Psalms, but Asaph wrote some, Solomon wrote some, and there are a few we just don't know who wrote them. So you're going to see that the writing styles may be a little bit different as we go through these, but keep that in mind. Another one of the differences, and this is something I'd refer you back, back probably 2 years ago, there were some brothers that taught on the book of Psalms, how it was structured and laid out. Psalms is actually divided into five books. There was the second book we studied all last year, and we're going to continue that for the first part of this year. That second book had a tone for a longing for God. You could see that over and over and over again. This year, starting in Psalm 73, we're going to shift into the third book. And it's got a little bit different tone to it. It's where there's an expression of grief or sorrow about what's happening to God's people. And you'll probably get that feeling of the shifting between those two books during our summer course as we go through that. So keep that in mind. Now, why should we study the book of Psalms? That's always the question I like to start with, because it has a lot of deep meaning. It gives us a really good way or illustration or examples of how to ask God for things, how to express joy, how to praise God, how to convey grief. It's really a way that helps us communicate to God in a better way. It's a book of praises. That's why a lot of these are put to songs in the Old Testament with God's people. And you're going to see that as we study through this. It also gives us a good glimpse into Jesus. Turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 44. We're actually going to start there this morning. And again, that's Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 44. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." What Jesus is saying here, that everything he said, everything that was written about in the book of Psalms, he had to fulfill. Psalm serves as proof of who Jesus is because he fulfilled what was written in the book of Psalms. You're going to see that today. There's going to be a lot of parallels as we look into Psalm 65 and 67 today. But that's the reason we need to be studying the book of Psalms. Psalms also opens up with a sense of meditation. You know, remember Ray last year introduced the word ponder to me. So ponder what's in those verses. It's the type of writings where the longer you spend in them and the slower that you read them, the more you're going to get out of it. I wish we could spend as much time looking at every single word through the next few weeks throughout the summer series. But what we're going to try to do is go through the main principles or applications of these things in order to get through everything. But Psalms is a really important book to study. Now turn to Psalm 65, and that's where we're going to spend most of our time today on. So Psalm 65. You're going to see in our study today many of the blessings that we have that God provides to us. Now think about this. What blessings do we have or do you have that come from God? Just name a few. Forgiveness, that's a big one. Time, the time that we have. No condemnation. Peace, absolutely. Calling to Him. He's always listening. We're going to see that today. Joy. We have a lot of joy. Christian families. Absolutely. Our families in general, you know, they come from God. Yeah, important point. Physically, we also have blessings. We're getting rain today. We're actually going to see that and study about it a little bit today as we look at the Psalms. Everything that we have physically, God provided. Everything listed here, which I was excited to hear, were more spiritual in nature type of items. He supplied those as well. He gave us His Son. He wants us to draw near to Him. He's giving us opportunities to do that. He wants us to be saved. We have to act on it, but that's what He desires. Everything that we have comes from Him. And hopefully today, as we look through Psalms 65 and 67, you're going to see ways that David wrote 65. We don't know who wrote 67, but you're going to see several different ways that David is acknowledging that. And it's a really neat study, and hopefully we've got enough time to get through everything. So let's look at Psalm 65. That's where we're going to begin. And we're going to begin in verse 1. "There will be silence before you and praise in Zion, O God, and to you the vow will be performed." Just that first section there, "There will be silence before you." David is approaching God here, recognizing that, hey, when I approach you, I need to be silent. There's nothing I can give you. There's nothing I can teach you. There's no knowledge I can convey that you don't know. And everything that I know comes from you. Be silent. Approach Him with a sense of awe. Approach Him knowing that He is God. It reminded me of a phrase, and I actually found it. Don't turn there, but it's in Psalm 46, verse 10. cease striving and know that I am God. Another way to phrase this, we sing a lot, is be still and know that I am God. That's what this is saying. It's saying put all of your attention on me, on God. God's worthy of it. Be silent. And it continues, and praise in Zion, O God, and to you the vow will be performed. You know, Zion, Brandon mentioned this a few weeks ago. Jerusalem is often referred to as Zion. Zion's also a place where God resides, is the idea here. And we need to be praising him. If we're approaching him, if we're at a place where he resides, we need to praise him. We need to recognize who he is. And that's what drives the end of this verse, and to you the vow will be performed. It's a sense that people's going to respond faithfully because God's been faithful to us, because he is the Almighty. He is God. Now look at verse 2. There'll be two sections today we study that gives me a lot of comfort. Verse 2 is one of them. This was the blessing I think that Mike had mentioned. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. You know, there's no other place to go with our prayers. And isn't it an awesome thought that when we pray, God's going to hear them? That's one of the blessings that we have. That's one of the many blessings that people of God can have. We need to always remember when we pray, approach him in silence, approach him with praise, and bring everything to him. It's just a really neat, comforting verse. Now we're going to skip verses 3 and 4 for just a minute and look at verse 5. By awesome deeds, you answer us in righteousness. However God answers us, is it going to be righteous? Is it possible for a God to do anything that's unrighteous? No. Everything that he does for us will be righteous. Sometimes blessings for us can be discipline. You know, if we aren't doing something right, the Lord can discipline us. We're taught in the New Testament that we could consider it joy. It is a blessing when God gives us discipline. That's also one of those blessings that we have. But he answers us in righteousness. And it's by his awesome deeds. And that's what we're going to spend a lot of time on today. Everything that he does, it's awesome. And you have to look at Psalm 65 and 67. It's example after example after example. Our God of our salvation. God is where our salvation comes from. David, when he's writing this, you know, remember he committed some pretty rough sins. We studied about it last summer in Psalm 51. He approached God, and God forgave him. God is where our salvation is. You who are the trust of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea. Trust. You know, some of the translations use hope here. He is our hope. He's who we go to. Now look at verse 6. Who establishes the mountains by his strength, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. When I read 6 and 7, this brings me to the thought of creation itself. God established the mountains by his strength. He has control over the seas. He can calm the seas. He can calm their waves. The tumult of the peoples. Tumult, that was a word, you know, I always thought I knew what it was, but I wanted to look it up just to make sure for this class. And the true definition of tumult is it's really the idea of chaos. It's louder noise, loud confusion. Imagine a really large group of people talking, and you're standing in front of them. You know that roar that you hear? That's that chaos. That's tumult. God can calm that amongst all the peoples. He's in control. It's an amazing thought. You know, when you talk about creation, the establishing of everything around us, the world itself, we just finished studying the book of Genesis, and we saw a lot of that within there. And turn to Genesis chapter 1. And we're not going to study creation today. That's not the purpose here. But I'm going to read just a few of the verses. And I want you to take note of how difficult it is for the Lord to do these things. What did he have to do to put into action the world itself? And I'm not going to read every verse here. We're going to skip around. So Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 2. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there is light. Look at verse 4. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. Verse 5. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees, and the earth bearing fruit, and their kind with seed in them." And it was so. Verse 14. Then God said, Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And last one, verse 8, verse 24. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. What do you see God doing to put these things into motion? He just said it. Jerry's right. He said it. He spoke it. And what happened? And it happened. You know, I don't know of anyone or any other place, or no matter what technology we can come up with, where we can just say something and it happens. Well, the Lord God can. He did it. So do you think he has authority over everything on the earth? Can he calm the seas? Can he have creation in a way that blesses us? Absolutely. You know, everything comes from him. So turn back to Psalm 65. They who dwell in the ends of the earth, and we're looking at verse 8. They who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. If you look close at verse 8, distant nations or distant people, they also stand in awe over things that God created. Even though they may not always recognize God was the one who did this, you know, we see throughout history where there were nations who were who had worshiped the sun or the moon and the stars. They stood in awe of those things that God created. That's why God put them there. Every time you look at the sun or the stars, God's in control. It should be a really good reminder for us, especially since we know God, we have faith in him. It should be a reminder of the blessings that we have because of what he's done. But it's also a reminder to everybody who doesn't believe that there is a God even. They're still there. They see them every day. Some worship them. But these are all of the awesome signs and wonders that God put into place. Now let's look at verse 9. You're going to see the blessings change a little bit from creation, and it's going to be focused on a little bit more of material blessings, I guess you'd call it, for us. So let's look at verse 9. You, or God, visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, and thus you prepare the earth. So it's through God that the earth thrives. Verse 10. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths dripped with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy, yes, they sing. What we're seeing here is an illustration, or it's a picture of just how much the earth itself flourishes because God is actively sustaining it. He prepares the earth. He gives it water. He gives us showers. We're seeing a lot of that today. He blesses its growth. He gives us grain, vegetation. He gives us all kinds of flocks. All of those things are blessings that God put into place and sustains that benefits really all mankind, whether they believe him or not. But again, for us, when we see these things, think about the blessings that we have in God, just how much he is in control when you look at these things. Are God's people the only ones who receive these blessings, though? Again, we're just looking at this piece. They're not. You know, when it rains and we need rain from time to time, does it just rain on people who believe in God? All right. He blesses the entire earth. Why is he doing this, though? It's definitely for all of his people, but there is a very intent reason that he does this. And we're going to see that as we look at Psalm 67. But what I want to take away from this is, first, I'm going to repeat, God created the entire earth. Everything that we have is a blessing from him. God sustains his creation. He gives us water. He gives us grains. He gives us flocks. He sustains all this, again, by his power. Blessings from him. Now let's look at Psalm 67. And again, this was written by a different author, we think. We're not real sure who wrote this. A lot of speculation there, and I don't want to spend any time this morning on it. But know that this one, we're not real sure who wrote it. And I just want to read through Psalm 67. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. It's an acknowledgement that God's the one who can provide blessings. Verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations of the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Whenever you look at this, you'll see in several sections here, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you. In verse 7, that all the ends of the earth may fear him. All of these signs and wonders again, whether you believe there is a God or not, there it's awesome. But God is blessing the entire earth to bring people to Him. That's really what the purpose is here. He loves us that much. You know, there was a time where everyone in this room was lost. But we responded, followed God, obeyed the gospel, and now we are a part of God. We were once outside of Christ. You may have seen some of these things as evidence that there is a God that was a way to make you respond, or at least make you be interested to study more. Then as you study more, you realize just how much comes from God. You realize our salvation is through Jesus. That's what drives us to Him. That's what God is trying to do to the entire world. Will the entire world respond? No, we know that. We see that. But the opportunity is there. Ron. Yeah, Ron is saying that faith comes from studying. It comes from the Word of God. It's exactly right. Psalms can be a really faith-strengthening passages of Scripture to take a hold of. You'll see it over and over in the book of Psalm. Today, hopefully your faith is being built by seeing what God does for us. And as we started the class, all of the spiritual blessings that we have, that in hopefully... That's the goal here, is to strengthen our faith. But good point. Chuck.
If we process what we see from creation, we can't quite make sense out of it. But if we use what we see from creation in conjunction with information from God's Word, then we can start putting these pieces together and build.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, when we see things in creation, we don't always know how they came about. But when we start studying Scripture and seeing these things, we're going to recognize that God is the one behind it. He's the one that sustains it. It's a good point. And it just keeps, the pieces just keep coming together the more and more you study. Your faith keeps being built the more and more you study. Good points. All right. Let's look at, go back to Psalm 65. And you notice I skipped verses 3 and 4. We're going to end there. And remember, David is writing this. Look at verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you forgive them. How blessed is the one whom you choose to bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. Verses 3 and 4, this is the other passages of Scripture I told you today that should bring you really a lot of comfort. We'd also mentioned before that David had committed a lot of sins. He turned to God. He knew God was the only one that could forgive them, and he did it. Looking at verse 3, that's what he's saying. He said, the iniquities, they prevail against me, but God, you forgive them. He has that authority. Does he have authority over creation? Yeah, we established that, I think, pretty clearly. Does he have authority over everything in creation? Can he sustain it? Absolutely. Are all these things put in a place so all man can see them? Absolutely. What's also available to us? 3 and 4, forgiveness. To me, that's the real heart of this, and that is should be the most comforting thing that you can take away, is that God can create all these things that we see, that we feel, smell, taste, hear. But how much more has he created that we can't necessarily see, feel, smell, taste, or touch, or hear? That's what we're actually striving for. How is the only way we're going to learn what those things are? That's what Ron's point was. We've got to study. He gives us patience. He can give us peace. He says we need to be kind. He teaches us how to love. Those are all spiritual blessings that were far greater than anything we have on this earth. It's still awesome to see his creation, but it pales in comparison to what we're going to see once we leave this body. It's a really comforting sign or a thought when you really get to thinking about it. And when you're reading Psalm 65 and 67, go back and read it over and over. And these things are going to start sinking in more and more as you study. I encourage you to do it. But one thing I want you to think about before we leave. What does all this remind you of? Thinking about it under a New Testament lens. Do you see Jesus in a lot of this? Did Jesus control the elements? Yeah, we saw him several times control the elements. There was a storm. It had a lot of the sailors afraid, and he silenced the storm, made the seas calm. Did you read that in Psalms today where God does that? Well, Jesus did it. How about on things, material things? Did Jesus provide some material blessings through miracles? Yeah. He took just a few fish and loaves and fed a multitude of people. You see some encounters with Simon Peter in two instances, as well as James and John in one, and Thomas and Nathaniel in another, where Jesus said, you know, you're not catching fish, cast the nets over here. And they did, and it filled their boats to the point of them sinking. So he had that ability. What'd you learn today in Psalms that God does? He blesses the earth. Blesses it in abundance. Jesus did that as well. How about the human body? Did Jesus have control over that? You see multiple times where he healed people who are lame, blind. There are some people he brought back from the dead. He had authority over the human body. Ron. Yeah. Yeah, Ron's exactly right. John 1:1. That was something I almost put in this lesson, didn't have time for it. It's a neat study. Go back and really look at it close. You can see where Jesus is involved in it. Now, this is the big one. Does Jesus have power to forgive sin? Isn't that an awesome thought? He has the same authority over the earth. He can bless us abundantly. But he has that power to forgive sins. That's where our salvation comes from today. You know, we can see the book of Psalm, and hopefully you're going to see that throughout the summer. You're going to see in the book of Psalm, there's a lot of reflection to the New Testament. Today, there's a pretty clear reflection with Jesus. Remember, Jesus fulfilled these things. And keep that in mind as we study. I think today, with the New Testament context that we have, looking at the Old Testament, we can appreciate it in a much better way than people could in the Old Testament, because we saw that promise fulfilled through Jesus. And I want to leave you with Psalm 67, verse 5. What's this all going to lead us to as we're getting ready to worship? Psalm 67, verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. All this should give us a sense that we need to worship God in an appropriate way. We need to give him all praise.